highly recommend stopping by. He's not far from Nate, so maybe tell Nate the next day that you came into town, because they'll fight over you.
Yeah.
All right, I'll leave it well.
If you need that board, a couple markers right
there. Okay. Well, everything he said, I feel the same. I feel the same about him. And just so you know, I feel the same about y'all because of him. When he was telling me about the transition, everything, coming to Oklahoma, and when he described you, I immediately developed a love for you. And I'm thankful for what you've done for him and your support of him. And you have a dear man. You have a man of God in your presence. And just as he's patient with you, I pray you're patient with him. Because we are just men doing our best to serve our sovereign Lord. So, well, I thank you for having me. I came up here sort of, I guess the Lord showed me about pride. I came up here sort of excited I'd lost 7 pounds, but I think within 2 days I've already put that back on. So y'all have fed me well, taken care of our family. We thank you for the accommodations, and we're very comfortable. And I thank you, and just can't say enough about your hospitality and your love to us. And I thank you for that. As far as that, as he was saying, I'm about 30 minutes from Brother Nathaniel Hilly and the Bible Baptist Church in Plant City. We are in Sefner. It's considered a bedroom community to Brandon and Tampa. So basically, if you found Tampa, then you'd find Sefner, then you'd find Brother Hilly. So it's sort of like a direct line. And it is a providential thing by the Lord that your pastor and I became such good friends, because when Brother Hilly uncomfortably put me in that position that you ought to have him preach for you, I'm like, I don't even know this man. And I don't open it up to just anyone. And I'd have to discuss it with the church. I mean, he's putting me in a position here. He felt the same way. But by the time we had finished the day, we spent about 3 hours there talking and praying, and we were all in tears. Anyhow, he found out within that coat was just another man that has feelings and going through some pains, and just a man doing the work. So I still have the coat, by the way. So maybe if it gets cold, I'll get it back out for him, because I know he likes it. Well, if you take your Bibles and go to the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16. And I'll give you a little bit of an introduction here. This will probably be sort of an unconventional message for you. But whenever I make it there, we are going to deal with the verses from 21 to 28. But before we can understand what's happening there, we'll have to back up and go back into the chapter to see what's going on. The hymns tonight line up with what I'm preaching. The specials tonight line up with what I'm preaching. And prayers have already been answered, and I pray that you'll be patient with me as we work through this. There's particular words that we have already sang tonight that stuck out to me. And I tell you, where we're at is that we're in times when it seems that people are getting a little apathetic in their service to our Lord and Savior. And it's not just in Oklahoma, folks. It's all the way down in Florida. I would say it's all across America. And I pray that after this week, maybe we can get energized a little bit, because if you don't understand that we are definitely in some strange times, I don't think you have to look far to the writings on the wall to see that we're in end times. There's no doubt there. And the Lord is returning. He is coming back to get what is His. And if you're confused about what might be His, because there's many professors out there that profess Jesus Christ, there's one thing that you can be assured of that is His, and it is His assembly, His church, His ecclesia, His bride. He will come and take her. With that, I'm careful to say that because I know the vernacular, and you can tell people what people believe about what the church is by that. You know, they say when the Lord comes back and takes up his church. No, no, no. Not all are the church, but he has a church made up of believers. So I pray you'll stay with me tonight as we work through this. So if you look at verse 1 of chapter 16, I'm not going to read the text that I'm really going to labor in. I want to build you up and get you to that point because we have to understand what's taking place. So in verse 1, it says, "The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came tempting, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, When it is evening, ye say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but ye cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed." So as we're building up to where we'll end up in the text that I'll really be preaching, to understand the history here, we gotta see what's going on, the background. And the first thing you're going to see here is you're going to see that it's a lack of faith. We find a lack of faith on these people's part. Now, it's interesting. I find it interesting. I'm always amazed at the Word of God and what it teaches us and what it shows us. But you see, they're wanting a sign. They give us a sign. Well, the interesting thing about that is a sign wouldn't have helped them. But see, in the Jewish culture, they tend to believe that a sign can prove of who you are and what you are. So that's one of the cultures that they hold to. Now, notice there was two groups there. There's the Pharisees that were hung up in very heavily steeped in their traditions. And then you have the Sadducees that was a liberal group. I bear with you today and tell you, I'll tell you this today. We're in the same place now. There are those that are conservative and hold right to the Word of God, says this is what it is, this is what we're going to believe, this is what we hold to, here's our articles of faith. And then there's some that's changing their mind and just wandering around a bit. And that would be the more liberal side. It's happening right now. Now, I will tell you, there's one preacher I knew that every time he saw the word Sadducee, he always had to let you know, see, they didn't believe in the resurrection. That's why they were sad, you see. But the fact is, they were both a sad group of people.
Right.
Both of them, sadly, mistaken. What they were lacking was faith. First thing they did was tempt him, wanting a sign, which is it's never good to try to back Jesus in a corner. They needed some kind of special revelation. And the signs, you must understand, will never produce faith. See, if you have faith and you know the Lord Jesus Christ, there's things you can see, and all it does is just reflect glory back to him. You realize what's happening. I'm not going on some spiritual tangent here tonight. I'm just telling you that you've got to have faith, and if you have faith, you can recognize what's taking place. But they didn't have the spiritual side of things. They did not have the faith they needed to understand the word. So, the next thing he points out is their keen knowledge of weather. See, there's a lot of fishermen that do the same thing and they don't understand where it comes from. They do not understand. That's a Bible teaching. And what Jesus was doing is he was putting them basically in a corner there saying, look, you're looking to the things that the Father has created. You're looking at the things that God Almighty, Creator God, has made. And you're reading those things and you understand those things. But I stand before you and you don't see it. He's putting it right back onto them. And then he tells, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign be given unto it but the sign of prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. That was the spiritual side of things. It's a spiritual adultery that was taking place. So we see that. The next thing we see in verses 5 and 6, he gives a warning. Now, you're going to notice disciples as we work through that, or through this passage and finally get to the text. That's important. It's important when you're preaching or studying the Bible or teaching the Bible, we got to know who we're speaking to, who the word, what's the context here, what's going on. So watch in verse 5 and 6. It says, and when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And then verse 7 it says, and they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. When Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do you not understand, neither remember the 5 loaves and of the 5,000 and how many baskets ye took up? Neither the 7 loaves and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of the bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. So as we're working through this, you see he gives a warning in 5 and 6, and then you see an answer taking place, or 5, 6, and 7, and you see an answer take place, continued on there to verse 12. We're in a time now, you better beware of the things you hear taught and preached. You better beware. We're in a multimedia age. You can find preaching anywhere you want. You can find it about many things. Much of it incorrect. Amen. Some of it correct. Some of the preaching is incorrect. There is some good things or correct things sprinkled in there. But we see what's happening here. Now, that was to his disciples. He's teaching the disciples. He's speaking to the disciples. The next thing you see is a confirmation take place. Watch here in verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, there it is again, speaking to his disciples. He asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Amen. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I know y'all have heard that preached over and over and over, but we know that Peter is not the rock. He's the Petros. He is not the Petra. We understand that. We know Jesus Christ is the foundation. We know faith is the key. But we could go on and on and on with that, but that's not where I'm headed here tonight. But why I brought you here tonight is because we see a confirmation there. The things the Pharisees and the Sadducees did not have was that the Father had revealed it unto them, his disciples. All right? The other thing we see is he asked, the disciples were there. He didn't just ask Peter. The ye is plural there. Now Peter spoke up. But that was, I believe, that was his church. That was his people. You go to Matthew 10. You can go to Mark 3. You can go to Luke 6. Where did I get that? From Acts 12:28. And God has set some in the church, first apostles. So to set them in the church, first apostles, well, there we go. But I'm not getting into that. I love church doctrine. I could go there, but I'm not tonight. But where I'm headed here is we see the confirmation, and then we see a promise for the church. You saw that in verse 18. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. Verse 19, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his who? Disciples, there it is, that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. many reasons for that. The time had not come. He was on the Father's timeline. He doesn't work on a man's timeline. He's not pressured into anything. He follows what the Father's will is. He follows the plan. It's man's business to mess up, not his. So now, we work now from the confirmation of faith, and we see all promise for the church in that as we are passing by. And then we see a confirmation of authority in verse 19. And then we work in verse 20, and he charges his disciples that they should tell them. He gives them an order. He gives them a command. Don't do that. And now we get to verse 21, where I really want to work with tonight. And what we're going to find here is a charge of obedience, a charge of suffering. We're going to see all kinds of things here. I'm trying to figure out how to work this. All right. So verse 21, here's where we're going to start our text tonight. In verse 21, it says, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and many things, and the chief priests, and scribes, and be killed and raised again the third day." That's key. This is one of the, he's telling them pretty direct that this is what's going to take place. All right, so this is new, and they're having to learn some things. Verse 22, "Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those things that be of men." That's another key. Verse 24, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily, I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Now I would like to go to prayer before we start. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank thee for this opportunity to be in thy house tonight. Many churches represented, Father, many people's driven many miles. And Lord, we praise you for what you have done. You have brought us together. You have organized this. You've brought it. And I see the pieces fitting together, Lord. Only a sovereign hand could do that. Only a powerful hand could do these things. We as men couldn't do it because we'd mess it up. But Father, thou art perfect. Thou art true. And we praise you for it. Father, we pray now as we work through our text and we get through here this message that you've given me. Lord, I pray that we'd be charged. I pray we leave here tonight with a different attitude about our service to thee. Father, I pray that we would see that it doesn't matter if we're 8 years old or 80 years old. It does not matter. If we are a disciple, if we're a follower, there's something for us to do. So, Father, I pray that you'd bless us, watch over us, and I pray your message would come through. I pray I would not mess the message up, that you just use me as a tool for the people here. Lord, we love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, here's what I want to deal with. See, this passage here, the reason I brought it to your attention, he's speaking to his disciples, because that's exactly what he's doing. He's speaking to his disciples. He's speaking to his followers. And where I'm charged in this, and I may jump around tonight a little bit, but I'm very moved about this. We're in a time that we got to figure out where we are. I mean, it's even like this. If I had to put a title to the message, I guess it'd be, "What Shall Man Give?" What should we give? Think about it now. The Lord and Savior has said, this is what's going to take place. I'm going to the cross. I'm going to die. I'm going to be buried. In 3 days, I'll rise again.
And look immediately what happens to Peter. It was just over there in chapter 16 and verse, where is it there? 16. And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." We have no doubt that Peter's a saved man. We have no doubt that he's a believer and the Father's revealed it unto him and the Spirit's working in him. But just that quick. Now think about this. He's in the midst of the Savior. The Savior's right before him. And that quick. "Not so, Lord." Isn't that something? That's what we're worthy of. That's what we can do. "Not so, Lord. We have the Word. You have a pastor that preaches the Word. We read it. We're daily in it. We're in prayer." And get right up and say, "Not so, Lord. Not so." I tell you, this is where we are, folks. This is where the churches are. I don't care what name you have on it, faith, grace, whatever it might be. I think it should be Baptist. But here's the point. We are all just people. And we have not the authority to say, "Not so, Lord." We do not have that authority. Look at the words he used there. Verse 21, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto," there it is, "his disciples." They're his, folks. We're not talking. He's not out there talking to the lost. He's talking to his disciples. Matter of fact, it's not in my notes. Let's back up. I want to make sure we understand that I didn't just fall off my rocker here tonight. These are his people. Matthew chapter 10, look at verse 1. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, what's it say there? "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirit to cast them out and to heal all manners of sickness and all manner of disease." Now the names of those 12 apostles are, you see that? All right, go to Luke chapter 6 for just a moment. I guess we will get in some church doctrine. Because really what I'm preaching to is the Lord's churches. We got to get up. We got to get out. We got to get on with it. This woe is me and, oh, well, you know, everything's getting so bad. Well, you know what? The Lord hasn't returned. So there's still work to do. There's work to do. Luke chapter 6, look at verse 12. "And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God." There's something big coming. Look at the time our Lord and Savior spent in prayer all night. We struggle 3 minutes on something serious. All night in prayer. Well, here's what's coming. Verse 13, "And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them." You know, there's a lot of folks miss that, those few words there. "And of them." And of them. What's that mean? It means there was more than them. That's what it means. Means there was many believers there. Oh yeah. It wasn't 12 in the midst of unsaved. There was many believers there. "And of them," what's it say? "He chose." Uh-oh, now we're getting into sovereignty. Uh-oh. "He chose 12. His church, his plan, his decision. He chose 12. I'm reading again. I got it right. "He chose 12. Let's read it again. "And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples." CBS. "And of them." That's key. I wish preachers really understood that. "Of them." That means there was more than 12. You say, well, it could have been 13. Well, there was one left out, wasn't there? Still saved, but chosen. "And of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles." Now, again, not in my notes, I'm just letting it go. 1 Corinthians 12, 28. Let's go over there, and then we'll get back to the text here in Matthew 16. 27. Verse 27 is the one, that verse is the verse that straightened Roy Mason out. Roy Mason used to be a universal church guy. And that verse right there is the one that turned him around. "Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular," the "in particular"
changed his life. God's a particular God. And we have a particular Lord. In verse 28, it says, and God has set some in the church. You see that? And God has set some in the church. Does it make sense now why he prayed all night? God has the blueprints. The Son come to fulfill and build off of the blueprints. So we see there, and God has set some in the church. First, apostles. Secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet show I unto you a more excellent way. So now when we go back to our text and we see in Matthew 16, Jesus was teaching. And he was teaching his very disciples. The very ones that he'll send out with a great commission, with a great mandate. And Jesus is building, it's a cumulative force building here. He's teaching, he's building, he's teaching. See, back in Matthew 16, 18, when he says, I will build my church. When you look at that in the Greek, it means edify. It means he's going to, it's a building process. Well, I know I'm preaching to people that already know that, but it helps keep me in line here. All right? So now, we get back to our text, verse 22. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. You see that? Thou art the Christ. Now he's rebuking him. That's how feeble we are. And you say, how could Peter do that? You've done that. I've done that. Everyone in here that's a believer tonight, that has trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, has been under the blood. Come through it. A born-again believer, you've done this. I'm thankful that this account of Peter's in here. It makes me feel normal. Now, get me. It doesn't make me feel well. See? Can't help it. Brother Joe probably knows what's coming here. I love you even if you say it. Maybe it's one of your favorite sayings. But if I never hear, well, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. If I never hear that again, it'd be fine with me. That's a crutch. We need serious believers today. We need serious people today. Quit leaning on your crutch of, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. That's all I am. No, you find me in the Bible where God ever calls you just an old sinner saved by grace. Find it. Show it to me this week. I'd like to see it. You won't find it. He calls you saint. He calls you child. You're his. If God doesn't call you sinner, then quit. I'm not saying we don't sin. Praise the Lord for 1 John 1:9. I'm thankful we have an advocate. I'm thankful we can go back and confess our sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, I praise the Lord for that. But quit using the crutches of, I'm just a sinner, as if I just can't help it. Our text is teaching us that we should be following Christ. Deny yourself. Get off the crutches. Kick them things to the side. Anybody that's ever had to wear them leg braces, you know, they don't go back to them. I've heard of people that just break because they just start walking straight and they never go back to them. So why is it a child that's been born again wants to fall back into the braces? Christ has stood you up. He's built you up. And he says, go. And he says, serve me. We're running out of servants. I was just speaking at dinner tonight. Where are the young men being called of God? You say, well, brother, we're just in end times, you know, and I just don't know that God's going to do that anymore. I don't believe that. I believe there's still a work to do. And I believe there should still be servants doing their best to do the work. What shall a man give? Let's move on a little further here. So after Peter gets through rebuking and be it far from thee, you know what it means there, and be it far from thee? I'm sure you do. It means pity thyself. Peter's trying to get the Savior to do just what we do. Pity thyself. Be it far from thee. Oh, just pity yourself. Isn't that what we do? Pastor, I'm sorry, I couldn't make it today. Well, what happened? Well, I walked outside and there was a hole in my shoe. My sock got wet. I'll try to see you next Sunday. It's the fact. I'm speaking from what I know. This is my first time preaching here, so don't get mad at me. Well, you get mad at me. Don't get mad at him. Get mad at me. I've heard every excuse, but there's a few that'll stick it out. I think about this. I was preaching in Revelation a few weeks ago. I was going to preach it here, but my wife decided to tell the whole sermon the other night over at the sitter's house. But, you know,
it was good, brother.
It's about losing your first love. Neither hot or cold. And unfortunately, I see that in America. Neither hot nor cold. No fire. No zeal for the Lord. No desire. Where's the church, girl? Do you? What have you done about it? Now, get me. I know the Lord builds a church. I know it's to the Lord. He adds them to the church. You're not going to do anything. You can go wrestle them in here. They won't stay. The Lord builds the church. I know it. But he uses,
right.
He uses servants to get his word out there. People's asked me down there because we have seen some growth and I've seen some leave. You know, people love it till you preach what they don't like. So we've seen some come and we've seen some go. But you know, the Lord's in control of all of it. This is the Lord we serve. So, watch what he does in verse 23. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. You know, I studied this over and over. I studied it before I ever came to Oklahoma. I've studied and studied, and I sat there, and I sat there today, hours on end. There's the key of everything, but those that be of men. We have to have a desire that we will deny the things we want, the things that hold us back, that we think hold us back. They're not. By the text, we find that we can pick up the cross and get to work. But we savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, there it is again, unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Follow me. What shall a man give? See, I'm working my way there. The Lord has said, follow me. He has already said, I'm going to the cross. He's going to be buried. He's going to be killed. He's going to be raised the third day. Peter rebukes him. Be it far from thee. Pity yourself, Lord. Don't do that. This can't be. Think how many times Peter had done that, trying to protect him. Pulled the sword, cut the ears. I mean, we got all kinds of things going on. Peter had some zeal. Sometimes his zeal got ahead of his thinking and spiritual growth. But Jesus really lays it out there. If any man will come after me, I've been very challenged with this. Mm-hmm. Would you come after me? I've already told you where I'm going. And I'm going there for you. Would you come after me? That's what he's saying. It's not a popular life, Peter. It's not a glamorous life, Peter.
Not everybody's going to put you up in the Airbnb and take you out to eat every night, Peter. Not everybody's going to love on you just because, Peter. You're going to have to give your life, Peter. These disciples gave their lives. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. There's our problem. There's the problem with the Lord's churches in America. And I say the Lord's churches in America. There's the problem. We don't want to deny self. We have become lazy. I believe these little instruments here and what we're recording with tonight and all the access to our fingertips has made us so lazy. We're instant gratification people. Give it to me now. I want the answer now. I'm not going to work for it. I'm not going to search for it. Just, Brother Joe, tell me. Tell me the answer. Google Joe. We are to be servants. And when you serve, it can be a long road. I'm not going into anything, but y'all been on my mind. It's been a long road. But guess what? Come after me. Take up your cross and come after me. There's a work to be done. There's many people out there trying to figure it out, but we have the truth before us. Denial of self is something that's tough to do. It's a daily work.
That's right.
You can leave out here tonight and say, boy, preacher, yeah, he really told us, and I tell you what, I'm going to do just that. I'm going to deny myself. I'm going to get to work for the Lord. Well, what can I do? Well, I don't know, but I'm going to do it. I'm just going to get to it. And then tomorrow night comes 7 o'clock. Oh, it's been a long day. Okay, doing what? Come after me. Look, I'm at the very basics of it. Showing up to church is the first step. There's a work to be done. We have to deny ourselves daily. I was complaining to Joe today, my tooth hurts. This side. I got sinus pressure going on. I just whined the whole time we were together. And Joe was right there along with me. He found some gray hairs in the mirror. He's like, what is that? I said, you know, I've been thinking about just going ahead and finishing off dyeing my hair gray because I've slowly blended it in there. Whole time we're talking about us. Deny ourselves. Forget about those things. And take up the cross and follow him. Verse 25, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it.
Amen.
For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Now, I believe we're seeing the example here. Jesus is going to the grave. He's going to rise again. We have the Savior. He's telling them, come after me. Take up your cross. And he gives the greatest example. Think about if Jesus would have thought like men do. The Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, but thy will. He turned it to God's will. Hebrews chapter 5, he learned obedience.
Yes.
Sweat great drops of blood.
Amen.
Took it upon him. We can miss it all by denying following our Lord. Get me right, because I know I'm new to you. I'm not talking about you can lose your salvation. We don't believe that. We don't believe that. We have a sovereign God, and when he drew you, and the Greek means drag, when he drug you unto him and saved your soul, because you didn't stumble onto him, he drew you. Well, there's none lost from his hand. But oh, what we can miss. There's so much in that, and I'm out of time for that tonight. But verse 28, verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Now, I will tell you, as I move forward, and we're going to go to Romans 12 and then Philippians as I work towards the end of this, I want to tell you, you can read in the chapter 17. There's some that disagree with that.
I tend to see what's happening here myself. Verse 1, it says, after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto him Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter, said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him.
Amen.
Oh, we see lots of things there that I'm not going to preach through tonight, but I believe they got to see just what he was speaking of. I believe they got to see what they were supposed to be focused on. And every time I pass by this, I have to mention it because some people wonder, heaven and afterlife and these things, I get questions on these. Well, will I be married to my husband? I know my husband. Well, I know that. The Bible says you'll neither marry nor be given in marriage. I mean, it's, you know why? Because it's going to be the same focus as it is hit right here.
That's exactly right.
It's not focused on Moses. It's not focused on Elijah. It's focused on Jesus Christ. I love my wife. 27 years I've been married to her. I love her. But when that time comes and we're both there, we're both going to be enamored with the Lord.
Amen.
And we should be now. Take up your cross. Come after me. We should be servants of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Very thankful. Back home, Brother Hilly, he offered to fill in for me. And I said, well, you know, I'm wanting the men. Step in, step up, and take it on. And they are. And I'm thankful tonight. There's a man there preaching. He's a deacon. He's preaching. There's other men there praying, going over the prayer list. Praying for this very meeting. We all need to step in, step up, step in, and step on. And get on with it. So, what I'd like to do now, if you will, I want to give you some examples of this. We're going to just stop at Romans 12 for just a minute, and then we're going to go to Philippians 3. You know that well. I'm not going to preach that. That, you know, we should never get tired of, you know, Romans 12 or this and that. But we see there, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Reasonable. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Amen.
I like that when it said, I beseech you therefore. Well, you know, as one preacher said before, if it says it's therefore, then you got to find what it's there for. And you go back and you read chapter 11 and you find out it's by the mercy of God. So therefore, by his mercy, the fact that you're even grafted into this, the fact that you're a wild one, you've been grafted in. Don't get prideful against the Jews. It's all by the mercy of God. And you drop down into verse 11. It says, oh, the depth. Verse 33 of chapter 11. Oh, the depth of the riches of both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. By the mercies of God. And then verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world. But that's the problem. We got a lot of folks getting conformed to the world, not transformed, not a metamorphosis taking place. The inside's not changing, which is making the outside changing. What's happening is the outside looks good, and it's affecting the inside. Now, Philippians 3 will give you another example. Where I'm at tonight, and this is going to get us started. Where I'm at with this is I know many of you brethren, your sisters in here. I've heard great, great things about you. But I'm standing before you tonight. I know that I can do more. And I think Brother Joe would admit he can do more. And I know there's churches America across America that is the Lord's true churches that could do more. So what's going to happen? Are we going to do more? I think there's great things coming to this church. I really do. You said, what is it? Tell us how to do it. I mean, I can give you suggestions, but that's not what's doing it. Your devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. Your willingness to be strange to everyone around here. And just stick with the word and trust that God has the power that if we stay faithful, we continue to follow him. We don't understand it. We wish the place was packed out on Sunday, but it's not. But we just stay faithful. We stay in the word. We're here. We're trying to fill a pew. We're doing all we can. And by just being faithful and following him, and then all of a sudden, we have a visitor. And then another visitor. And some of them will stay, and like I said, and then some, and then, hey, man, boy, you really just put it down there, don't you? You just preach it hard, don't you? And then until I preach what they don't like. And then, well, he's lost his mind. No, I've lost nothing. I just preached the Bible to you. We got to stick with it. Let's look at the Apostle Paul here in Philippians chapter 3. Verse 1, it says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." Remember that we were talking about man in Matthew 16. No confidence in the flesh. "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more." I tell you, see, what Paul's doing, he says, I'm going to just remove all your excuses. You think you're good? I'm more. I got it all. I got the bloodline. I got the teaching. I got the traditions. I got it all. And watch what he ends up calling all these things. Verse 5, "Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee." Sanhedrin. What an amazing lesson that he can teach. Verse 6, "Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, chasing Christians, condoning to the killing of God's people. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ." If he would have just stuck with the traditions and he would have just kept doing what he was doing and all the elevation he could have had. I mean, he was already elevated. I mean, he read his pedigree out to you. But God saved his soul. On that road to Damascus, and people want to argue with me, you say there's no more apostles today. You say that they have to see God. Well, what do you think happened there? Where did he go out there in Arabia and spend time with him? He saw God. The other minute, I can get wound up about these things. "But concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ." What's the price? What's the price? Now we'll get to it. "Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." Oh, the Apostle Paul, what a life-changing experience he had. Maybe,
I run into all these people that, oh, yeah, oh, Jesus Christ, he's my Savior, yeah. Well, what church you go to? Well, I don't go to church. Really? Yeah. You don't have to go to church. Me and Jesus, we're like this. Really? Well, you know, Jesus loves his church. Oh, I don't believe in all that organized religion. Really? We just went through it tonight. I don't believe in that. Get over in John 20, and the doors were shut. And the doors were shut. And when they were assembled. Oh, he loves the church. And if you truly love Jesus, you'll follow him. I believe I believe things are being revealed today. We're finding out who truly is and who truly is not. Well, Brother Joe offered me this board, and I started to go to Hebrews 12, but I want to end up like this. I've labored on it enough. I was reading Warren Wiersbe's commentary. I don't have it worded exactly like his, but that's where I got it from. But you know, he had sort of a line here. Well, he gave me a board, brother, but I don't know about these markers now. There we go. Got to press it, huh? Deny, live. Take up, ignore. See, we're looking at the contrast here. Man, command. Lose for his sake. Gain the world. Keep. Your soul. Lose your soul. Share reward. Lose reward. I debated whether I was going to do that or not. But sometimes, many times, the eye affects the heart. But there's your contrast. That's it. I put it like this. Here's the contrast. For you. For me, we either deny or we lift ourselves. I say this is a picture of what we're seeing in Christianity as a whole. You take Baptist out of the name, out, whatever. Christianity as a whole. Because I don't believe you have to be a Baptist to be saved. You either deny yourself or you live unto yourself. You either take up the cross or you ignore the cross. What are we going to do? The Lord's not done with this church. This is just the building. This is the shell. Amen. But the Lord's not done with it. And I'm telling you, there's going to be more and more coming. There's going to be more and more coming. You know, you say, how do you know that? Well, because the Lord's hand's upon it.
Amen.
Me and Brother Joe's been talking about some things. Some new things has come to light to him. The Lord's hand is upon this church. But it's going to take sold out disciples.
And the Lord uses those sold out disciples to build his work. So what are we going to do? What will we do? Hebrews chapter 12. We have a great cloud of witnesses. And we'll close with that. I think it's a perfect place to stop. And I believe it's a perfect place to start off the meeting. I've heard already, just in the short time I've been here, I've heard about saints that were here. Preachers that have passed on. You know what they were? They were sold out disciples of Christ. When the weather and the storms would beat, and even sometimes the hail was coming down, they wouldn't move. Because they were following Christ. Oh, the lightning popping and the thunder rolling and the waves crashing all around Grace Baptist and Grace Missionary Baptist Church. I mean, everything going on around it. But there were some true disciples that says, I can't leave my post. I choose Jesus. I must hold the post. We have some here. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth.
Right.
You're either going to stand up and go and follow the Lord, or you're going to give up and fall out. And we are in a time, Faith Baptist is in a time, Grace Missionary Baptist is in a time, all the Lord's true churches across this country, we are at a point, it's time to either stand up or give up. But I'm going to tell you, the Lord's true churches don't give up, because we have the promise that he is with her always. And there's a marriage coming. And it's going to be a shock to a lot of people, but not everybody's included. Not everybody's going to be in the bride. Because there's got to be witnesses there. And there will be. But the Lord's church will be there. C.I. Schofield, he says, you know, the Lord's church will just be down and it'll look grim and weak and in despair. Well, that's strange. That's why it's not good to get hung on people's notes and Bibles. That's strange, because if you read Ephesians 5, what's it say there? She'll be spotless. Without blemish. You know what that means? She's going to be in all her splendor. And you know the ones that's going to be in all the splendor? The ones adorning the doctrines of God. So we worry not what the world says. I'm going to go further. We worry not what brethren says. We serve the Lord Jesus Christ. We stand up. We get up. We go. We show up. We just keep on. Because he said, follow me. He didn't say follow them. I'm reading a book now from an author. He stood firm against all these conventions and all these popularity contests, and he just continued to follow the Lord. And here I am, as the early 1900s, and here I am now in 2024 going, wow, that's a man. That's a man. And you know what I praise about him? He was following the Lord. Everything he answered with was the Bible. Now, he had one command confront him. He says, well, that's not what the brethren here believe. He says, but that's what the Bible says. Do we believe the Bible or the brethren? Bible.
Amen.
And that's what we must do.
Amen.
Stand up. Get out and get on with it.
That's my prayer for faith. We've been praying for y'all, and I want you to pray for us. There's something going on in this country. We're glued to TVs. We can't take our eyes off the news. I don't know why. It's the same thing every night. This side's lost their mind, and this side just stayed aggravated about it. Every night. And the side I like, the right side. You know, always got to be on the right side. The side it's the same thing.
That's right.
And here's where I stand. I hope the one I want gets in and helps fix this country for at least 4 years. It takes 2.5 to even get it going the right direction. But who's in charge? The Lord is.
That's right.
I think if we'll just follow the Lord, I think that's why we got what we got now. We got so prideful in man, he says, well, watch this. You think he's done everything else and you one can't even talk.
Yep.
The Lord's in control and we must follow him. That's the only hope we have. So I pray this has at least got your mind thinking tonight. And as we move on during the week, I pray that we can walk out of here encouraged and challenged. The Lord's not done with his church. He's not done with you. He's not done with me. He's not done with his true churches. And I pray that you would accept the challenge. You say, brother, I'm so late in life now. I'm aged, as the Bible calls it. Now, what can I do? Well, you can pray. Well, I already pray. Well, then pray more.
That's right.
Devote more time. Give yourself to the Lord. Devote yourself to his service. I pray this would be a help to you tonight, Brother Joe.
Thank you.
Well, I want to thank you all again for coming. I meant to say this in the introduction, but I guess you know by now, I'm not sitting him down at a certain point of time. He's come from a long way. We've prayed a long time for this meeting. I want full messages. And it's typically how I handle any meeting, but especially one that we have any hope of finding revival. This is a great place to start. We consider the text that he gave us. The Lord says denying came first in that list. If any man will come after me, denying comes first. And I couldn't help but be haunted by the question, how far have we actually come if denial is supposed to come first? If you only knew how well that hit everything we've preached for probably the last 6 weeks. If you only knew, Lord did. He knew exactly what we needed.